Episode 161, When Your Husband is Struggling. Welcome to How to Glow, where we get real about building the marriage of your dreams. I'm certified coach Kayla Levin, and I help married Jewish women go from surviving and overwhelmed to thriving and connected through practical tips, real life inspiration, and more than a little self-awareness along the way. Welcome back, my friends. I'm so excited to share this tool with you this week. This is the kind of tool that we all need at some point in our marriage. There's no question. There's nobody who doesn't need or deal with their spouse struggling and needs to find a way to manage that process effectively. We're so busy when our spouses are struggling in their story and what they're going through, and our heads are over there. It's very easy to forget what's going on with us, and it makes all the difference. And so I'm very excited to be sharing this tool. It's my favorite tools are the ones that we can use on the go, bring back up. They're easy to remember and they really make a huge difference. And so that's what we're going to be doing today. Before we get started, I do want to tell you that I was on the Meaningful People podcast and that came out Motzei Shabbos. So go check that out if you're interested. They have, of course, so many amazing episodes, and it was really such an honor and a pleasure to be over there. All right. So back to our husbands who are struggling, or if they're not, save this episode because we're all human and we're all going to struggle at some point, and you'll probably struggle with him struggling, right? So I kind of wanted to start by breaking this down into three different types of struggle because the tool is going to apply a little bit differently. You do the same work, but I want to paint the picture for you so that you really understand it. So in one type, it's just your husband's going through something, right? It's like, this is actually the hardest one to identify because there might not be such a clear trigger. You might really not notice it until you're in it, but he's going through some kind of identity transition, priority transition, you know, nothing specifically happened, right? That's like a major crisis, but he's shifting somehow in who he is. So I'm going to call that just he's going through something. All right. The second one is when your husband is struggling with something about you. And it doesn't actually really matter whether it's something that you could theoretically fix. Like, let's say you tend to be late to things and he's very punctual, or he wants you to sort of maintain the house in a different way than you are. Or if it's something that's completely outside of your control, he wishes you were 3 inches taller or something you just can't really do anything about. Okay. Either way, number two is he's struggling with something about you. Number three is your husband is dealing with his own crisis. This is the most obvious one. This is the one where we can tell that this is happening, right? Because something happened and we know that we expect him to go through a crisis. It doesn't mean that we always navigate that so smoothly. And so that's why I'm offering this tool for this as well. So what do I mean by crisis? It could be a health crisis. It could be a loss of a parent or family member. It could be job loss. It could be a mental health crisis like depression or anxiety, right? So he's dealing with something, you know what it is that he's dealing with, and you're figuring out how to navigate it. So what do we normally try to do when our husbands are struggling? And by the way, I just want to say, I know that there are guys who listen to this podcast too. All of this works both ways. I'm going to say husband, but you can, I know you're all very intelligent and capable of translating. This is one of those episodes that really is going to work. This is just dealing with humans. This is not gender specific at all. So what we usually try to do when our husband is struggling is we try to make it better, right? We want to make it better. We want them to feel better. We worry about them. We try to think of suggestions, solutions. If we have solutions, we hint at them or express them. And if we're perfectly honest, sometimes we even get a little frustrated because maybe they don't seem to be taking our suggestions, or even if it's not our suggestions, like maybe the doctor said they should be doing something and they're not doing it, or you know that there's a certain, you know, way that they could go through this process faster or more efficiently or more effectively. You learned this thing in coaching and you wish they would just run a model, right? We can also get frustrated watching someone go through something. We can get frustrated watching someone struggle. And what I want you to consider is whether that is coming from a place in which you are struggling to tolerate their discomfort. Okay. What do I mean by that? if there's a feeling of urgency, right? If there's some anxiety on your part, if you want this fixed now or yesterday, it probably means that watching them go through this struggle is kind of intolerable for you. And I don't mean it actually is like you really can't tolerate it. You can tolerate it. I'm going to show you how. But in that moment, you're struggling to tolerate it. I think we see this with our kids, right? If our kids are struggling, I know with my kids, like at first I want to rush in and fix it for them. I want to offer all the solutions. I want to tell them what they could do better. I don't want to just let them go, you know, and figure it out for themselves. Like I want to fix it. And if I'm struggling to fix it, first of all, if I don't catch myself doing this, right? If I don't catch myself doing it and I'm trying to fix it for them, or I'm trying to guide them and lead them, and they don't take my advice, or they even take it and they're still struggling, I can even get frustrated with them, right? Same thing with our husbands, same thing with any major relationship in our lives, is that we struggle so much when we see them going through something. So what we need to be able to do to not be focusing on, right? We don't want to be driven by our own need for comfort. We want to be driven by what's best for them. Is we have to know how to tolerate their discomfort. And it's so fascinating when you think about it, because whatever they're going through doesn't go into you, right? Like his discomfort doesn't become your discomfort. It's not contagious. It's not like you are experiencing it exactly, right? It's whatever your story is about what they're going through, right? And of course we know everyone's supposed to have challenges and struggles and, you know, like this idea of life, it maybe is 50-50 of positive and negative. We could try to like try on those ideas. But if you don't believe them in that moment, it's not going to work. It's going to just bounce out. Okay. So the first thing that I like to do is I just like to identify what's happening, which is either like, oh, this is part of the negative part of life, which could be really helpful sometimes. Like, oh, my brain is trying to say like, I shouldn't have to feel negative. But when I go like, wait, oh, that's what's happening right now. It's the part of life that's not easy. That's what I'm experiencing. It actually releases all the resistance, and the resistance is what's causing me to suffer. The not wanting to go through this is what's causing me to suffer. And it's amazing because I'm not even the one going through it, right? I'm not wanting to watch the other person go through it. I'm not wanting them to have to go through it, whether I'm watching it or not. I'm not wanting reality to happen. And that's creating so much suffering for me. So I first need to just identify what's happening. I could say, oh, this is part of the negative part. Sometimes I like thinking of it as, oh, this is me growing, right? Sometimes when I'm doing something and it's outside my comfort zone and it's really hard on me, be like, oh, this is me growing. I have to become a bigger person. I have to become a better person. I have to become someone who can do more in the world. And these are the growing pains. Okay. When I identify that, it allows me to drop the resistance of the story, this shouldn't be happening, which is behind so much of our discomfort. This shouldn't be happening. This shouldn't be happening. Just let it go like, no, this is exactly part of life. Okay. The other piece I want to offer you for how to tolerate your own discomfort is to tune into your body and just really listen to what your body needs. Okay. When I'm going through something major, I know I need a lot of rest. I know I need water. The way I eat changes, right? I usually need to just like tune out and read a book that's completely distracting from my life. Like that's if I'm in high, high, high stress. If I tune into my body, I know immediately and exactly what it is that I need to start getting back on track. Okay. So I'm watching them. I'm reminding myself, oh, right. This is supposed to happen. It's okay that this is happening, even though it might be uncomfortable for me to watch. And then I'm tuning into my body and I'm just checking in. What am I experiencing? Where am I experiencing this in my body? How does this feel physically? And what could I do to support myself right now? Your body always has the answer to that. What we're able to offer once we've done that work is profound. If we've done the work to be able to tolerate the discomfort, and again, watch it. I'm not saying get rid of the discomfort. I'm not saying, let's say a lot of us just send our kids back to school. What if they have a teacher that they hate? What if they cried the whole first day? What, you know, right? Like, what if they're really struggling in that transition? I don't need to be able to be okay with it. I don't need to be able to feel excited about it or positive about it. I just want to be able to tolerate it. Okay. Because if I can tolerate it, then I'm not kind of triggered by it. I'm not acting to avoid the discomfort that I'm feeling. Oh, this is the discomfort. It's hard for me as a mother to watch this. It's hard for me as a spouse to watch this. Got it. Here's what discomfort feels like. Here's how I'm going to take care of myself. Okay. I'm just going to claim this discomfort as part of my life for a little while and not make that a problem. Okay. If I'm able to do that, and you're all able to do that, what you're able to offer to your husband when you've done this work is space and love. And I'm going to talk about this, but this is the most valuable thing you can possibly offer. And I want you to see why. When we offer someone space, and I don't mean, oh, okay, you're struggling, I'm going to go to my room and tune out and I'll see you in 3 weeks. No, 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 no. That's not what I mean by space. What I mean by space is I'm watching and witnessing, and I'm not rushing into your world. I'm not rushing into your life. I'm not rushing into what you're going to do. And I'm not rushing into your feelings or thoughts. Okay. Those of you who've been listening to the podcast a long time, and some of my clients, sometimes it's hard to deal with people when you know it's a model, when you know it's a thought and a story that they're dealing with, and like you could see how they could think differently. So you can use this with your friends also, right? What I'm offering this person in this moment is the space to figure it out. Why is that so profound? Because when I'm rushing in to try and fix it for you, when I'm reacting to my own urgency and my own discomfort, I'm sending the message that you aren't going to figure this out and you need to be rescued. And when I offer space, here I am, I'm witnessing you, I'm empathizing with you, and I'm ready to see how you're going to figure it out. If you want to ask me for some help, I'm here to support you. If there's something I could do, let me know. But I'm keeping the ball is in your court, right? I'm not directing the show here. I'm not in charge. You let me know if you need something, but I'm on the sidelines and I'm just rooting you on. Okay. When I do that, you can hear it energetically, right? The difference between like, well, what should we do about that? How could we, do you need me to call the teacher? Do you want me to talk to your boss? Do you want me to this, right? Like when I'm in their space, I'm not offering them the space to work it out for themselves, which is of course what they need so that they can accomplish, so that they can fix this problem for themselves. It's so fascinating to me sometimes when our husbands are down or they're struggling and they're taking a beating in their self-esteem. And what do? We buy into the story. We're like, oh my gosh, maybe you are helpless. Let me help you. No, please don't do that, right? If he's taking a beating on his self-esteem, what he needs is you on the sidelines going like, but I know you got this figured out. You all forgot that you're super capable and competent, but I'm not worried about you. You got this. Let me know if you need anything. What they don't need is us coming, oh my gosh, it sounds like you're really struggling. How are you going to deal with this? Are you going to be okay? Of course he's going to be okay. Your belief in him is the strongest and most powerful thing that you can offer. And the way you offer that is with space. Okay. And love. And what does love look like? It's just the way you're offering the space. I'm not offering you space because I'm like, this is awkward and uncomfortable and hard for me to watch. I'm just going to back off. No, I'm here. I'm loving you. I'm offering you space. I'm believing in you. I'm supporting you. That's the love. Okay. You want to throw in, you know, his favorite coffee or whatever while you're at it, you could do that too, right? People could use a little extra boost, but you're not loving him to try and make him feel better. You're not trying to get him to get over it, right? You're not trying to rush anything along because you've got all the space in the world. So let's say he's going through something. This is something we just went through in our house. Okay. My husband was laid off. It was intellectually, he knew it was exactly what he wanted. We'd already had some conversations about how this industry had really drained a lot of energy over the years, and he was ready for a different direction in his life, but it came faster than he expected. He didn't expect a layoff specifically. He expected to move out of the industry. And it meant a lot of shuffling in our, and it still means a lot of shuffling in our lives and priorities, right? It's meant he's home more. He's learning way more, thank God. But right, there's a whole shuffle in terms of how we do things and what he does and what I do and how this works and how much, you know, I'm, you know, enabled now to do more things. And it's requiring an identity shift for him. This guy has been doing the same thing for 13 years. And he's been playing the same role in our family for 13 years. It's a major shift. And at first I was like, trying to just fix it all. I didn't know. This is the one that I offered you in the beginning, right? Is that we don't really actually notice this is happening until we notice it's happening. It's not like a crisis where I know something happened. We were happy about the layoff. So it wasn't a crisis. Normally a layoff would be a crisis, right? So until I was able to realize it, oh, he's going through something, all the resistance went away. And I was immediately able to check into giving him space to lock into that emotion, that feeling, that energy. Because I was like, oh, if he's just going through something, he just needs to figure this out. I don't need to keep diving in there with my suggestions and my new calendars and my new priority lists and my new ideas. And like, maybe you should learn longer and maybe you should do this or maybe you should do. He's got this, but it takes time to do these things. It takes time to work it out, right? Let's say he's struggling with something about you. I think this is the most profoundly valuable thing you can offer yourself is to be giving him space and love on this one. Because what normally happens, whether it's something like quote unquote in your control or not, okay? And of course, we all have different opinions. He probably has a different opinion about whether it's in your control than you do and all of those things. When he's struggling with something about you, it is this like firestorm of emotions. I know because I coach on this all the time. On the one hand, there's this pull to want to make him happy and be the person that he wants. Maybe that's important to him. And I want to be a good wife and I want him to be happy. So some of it's not being able to tolerate his discomfort. Some of it's sort of wanting to just show up as well as you can. And like, this might be a valid thing to work on. And it very quickly adds in resentment and frustration and blame come into the picture. Like, it's not even fair for him to ask that of me. What about all of his failings? There's not even anything wrong with this. We just function differently, right? Like, all of this becomes the language and the story. And this, again, this like mental firestorm of like, what's wrong with this whole picture? Okay. And you might not even want to offer him anything like space and love right now because you're so frustrated that he has any issue with you. So first of all, just remember, you probably have an issue with him. You just might be less vocal about it. But when you offer space and love, when his complaint has to do with you, it's really amazing because what you're doing is you're no longer going to work on this because you can't handle him struggling. Because here's the thing, you both get to take up space in this relationship. Some of you struggle anytime he's struggling with anything remotely related to you. It could be extended family members that now wouldn't be in his life if he wasn't married to you or whatever, you know, like a financial, maybe he knew that you came in with some credit card debt and you're married now, but now he's struggling with the credit card debt or whatever the thing is. My husband has to deal with me having diabetes a lot. Right? My blood sugar tanks and I'm like not functional for the next hour until I get re-regulated and I feel better. He has to deal with that. And so for some of you, I want to remind you that you get to take up space in this relationship. It's okay for him to struggle because of you. You struggle because of him. You are both where the other one is going to grow in some ways. And this doesn't mean we never try and accommodate what our partner needs. What it means is I'm going to offer you the space to deal with the reality that we have right now. Okay, so let's go with my medical thing. I can't control the fact that I have type 1 diabetes. Can't do anything about that. Okay. If I'm so urgently trying to make it better for him that sometimes my blood sugar is not good. And then like, we really have to just stop everything that's happening so I can fix it and I can make sure I'm safe and I'm healthy and everything's okay. I'm not going to do a good job of actually taking care of myself. I'm going to try and look for a really quick fix, a patch job, right, of what I need to do. When I give myself permission to cause some friction in my husband's life, now I have the energy and the space to consider, what would make me healthier? What would work better for me? Maybe I want to do this a little differently. because I'm not so urgently trying to make that go away, his discomfort. Make sense? Let's say it's, you know, I'm really messy and my husband comes from a really tidy home and that's my responsibility. The way that we worked out our relationship is that I'm responsible for how the home looks, or even if it's not, I just leave a mess, right? We're both equally responsible and I leave a mess, or he's responsible and I leave a mess. I just leave a little mess behind me wherever I go. Let's say that's how I grew up. That's how I've always been. He grew up in a very tidy home. He's really struggling with that. So if I'm in that space of like, I can't tolerate that discomfort that he's having, I'm going to do two things. First, I'm going to try and like shove myself into becoming a person who doesn't leave a mess. Probably not effective. Behavior change happens a little bit at a time. Okay. So it's going to be ineffective. It's going to be a patch job. Then when I fail, I'm going to get mad at him because he knew I was like this when we were dating. I mean, it's not like I lied. So really, what's his problem? And anyway, like I'm taking care of all these little children and he doesn't even know how hard my life is. And does he know that I didn't even have breakfast yet today? And right. It's going to go on and on and on. It's going to become this like, you know, this narrative of resentment and frustration because why? Because actually at that point I felt so bad about the failure. It was much easier to just be angry and resentful. That's kind of another podcast. It's also one of the classes in the First Year Married course. So there's a plug right there. Go join How to Glow and you can listen to that class on resentment. But before we go to that, right? If I go, yeah, I am a person who leaves a mess. He's right. And him struggling with that, pretty valid. I can get why he'd be struggling with that, right? Because sometimes we want to invalidate their struggle with us. We don't need to invalidate it. Totally valid. And I'm going to hold space and love for him to figure that out. You got married to a woman who has a different tendency than you. I know you can work that out. I know you can figure that out. It might take you a while. You might not want to work on it yet, right? I might just see you struggle with it for a while. And I'm going to tolerate the discomfort of seeing you struggle with me. Okay. Now that I have that space, first of all, do you hear how much less energy and attention and mental space needs to be dedicated to defending myself against this attack? There's no attack. He's struggling. And I was struggling with him struggling. I can just stop struggling with him struggling. And now he's just struggling. Okay. I don't have to resist that. Part of his life is to struggle with the fact that his wife is messy. I don't need to resist it. I don't need to defend it. I don't need to get all involved in it. And I don't need to fix it. And now I can ask myself, do I want to fix it? Now that I'm okay with what he's going through, I might want to. I've shared on the podcast before, when I stopped beating myself up for not being a very expert housekeeper and homemaker, I realized I really like it when my house is tidy and I actually really enjoy a lot of household tasks, believe it or not. I don't enjoy when there's more than I can imagine having time for, but just the act of sitting there and washing dishes, I usually have a podcast or I've got some interesting thoughts in my head, like it doesn't bother me to wash dishes. There's nothing about maintaining my house that bothers me. But when I was so busy beating myself up and I wasn't doing it the way that I thought I was supposed to be doing it, I couldn't realize that. I just hated everything about the house. So it's the same thing here. If you're not beating yourself up about whatever his issue is with you, then if it is something you might want to change, you can consider that and you'll have a lot more energy to move forward with that. Finally, I want to talk about when he's dealing with his own crisis, right? So this is like, he has, you know, he gets fired, he's depressed, he fails a lot of tests and he's not able to get his, you know, certificate or degree or whatever. He loses a family member or someone close to him, right? Medical, mental health crisis. So what does space and love look like? This one can be really hard, right? Let's say he's supposed to be doing certain things and he's not doing them. You know, he could be taking better care of himself. And so it can be a battle of like, but I need to, because the doctor said he needs to do these things. So obviously, you know, if like something is a life-threatening situation, you might need to just talk to the doctor and figure that out. But often what it is like this day-to-day management of something, or watching him go through the grief. And we have all this, we really know, like I know about the stages of grief, or I know about how he's supposed to be managing this condition, or I know like how he could start applying for a new job and then he wouldn't have to feel so bad that he got fired because he'd have a new job already. I know what he could be doing. I don't even see him hunting for jobs right now. What's the problem? What's going on? I've got a whole agenda, when I'm honest with myself, about how he should be dealing with his crisis. And that's so exhausting. Because now instead of managing your life, which if your husband's in a crisis, you need to manage your life intentionally because he's offline. You don't have the headspace to manage his crisis, to support him, to be there with him for sure. But to resist the whole way he's going through it, we don't really know how he's supposed to go through it. We can't know that. But this is the one that I talked about in the beginning of what we can offer him is, I know you're going to get through this. I have all the confidence in the world in you. And you might need a lot more support from me than you're used to getting, especially with a crisis. Want me to read your cover letter? I got you. Want me to remind you when to take your meds? I got you, right? Want me to just give you a pep talk every time you have to go talk to your therapist because it's really hard for you? I could do that. But you tell me what you need. You let me know. When I offer you a suggestion, it's not because I'm trying to hound you. I'm not trying to make this go away. I'm accepting. Remember, we're in this for the long haul. We're going to be married to this guy for decades, please God. We're both going to go through crises. That's just part of being a human being. So what I want in this case, if this is what you're dealing with, I want you to just consider like, oh, this is crisis mode. And what crisis mode looks like is I'm being supportive. I got to take care of myself. Got to get myself some extra help, right? If let's say you've got a lot of kids or you've got a really busy schedule or whatever, you're managing a lot together and now more is going to be on your plate. What do you need to be able to be that supportive person? What do you need to be able to function to be okay yourself? That's where your energy needs to be. Resisting that you're in a crisis or worrying about how long this crisis is going to take is not going to help you. It's not going to help. We're in crisis, not sure how long we're going to be here, but we can do this. And I'm going to do that with space and love. And what I believe happens when we offer space and love to someone who's in crisis isn't that it happens faster, but I think that the process they need to go through can happen more thoroughly. We don't want to rush someone into a new job. We don't want to rush someone through the grieving process. We don't want to rush someone to fix their problem if they can fix it thoroughly, right? So I'm not saying they'll never have to circle back. The grief will never reemerge. They'll never struggle again. But what I want to say is that when I offer space and love, I don't know how exactly this is supposed to look. And I'm able to offer them, if I'm okay, you don't need to rush on my account. You can do this right. And now when they come out, it's fully done. It's done in the way that they need it, which again, we don't know, but they're going to figure that out. Okay, my friends, I think this is something I'm so excited about you being able to offer. You can just use that term space and love whenever you need to call it back up. And I want you to know that I've got all the space and love for you. Some of you might be thinking this sounds really hard to do. And I totally know you can figure it out. So if this work is speaking to you, if you know that this is the next thing that you need to be doing in your own growth and in your own marriage, I want you to join How to Glow today. And I don't just want you to join. I want you to make a commitment that you're going to be on that very next coaching call and you're going to raise your hand and you're going to bring this on so I can coach you personally. And we can find any roadblocks you're having in bringing this out in your life and growing from this experience and being able to tolerate the discomfort, even if the discomfort is because they're struggling with something about you, so that you can show up with space and love. All right. Sending lots of love to all of you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Bye-bye. Hey there. If you know a newlywed or you are one, we have a wedding gift for you. Go to kaylalevin.com/newlywed to get access to my best-selling course, First Year Married. You have got to be in your first 6 months, so make sure you don't wait. And if you've been married longer than that, but you're looking for some more support or this stuff is just super fun for you, I'd love to have you join me inside of my membership community, How to Glow. It's for women looking for a fresh take on relationship development. Join us for live coaching calls, signature classes, and anonymous Q&A. Let's do it.